Blog Talk Radio.
To the African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club meeting.
with your host, Brother Charles Williams, and I'm joined with my lovely wife, who's an engineer in the program, Jalavit. Say hello.
Hello.
All right.
I don't know if I like that one better. You tried to mix it up a little bit. Wait a minute.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I, yeah, the title of tonight's discussion is taken from a book, a collection of articles or essays entitled Nat Turner, A Slave Rebellion in History and Memory. And tonight's feature article is titled A Prophet in His Own Land, Support for the Nat Turner Insurrection Within the Black Community. I think this subject is so timely because of the way information is about these insurrections is, it's like, since it happened so long ago, everybody pretends to be in support of it.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, we know those most people today will probably not be in support as there were in the 19th century and antebellum period.
Correct.
I think they had more support for the insurrections then.
Right.
Comparison to what we have now today. People may look at it in retrospect and say, oh, well, you know, they did that back then. Ooh, boy, it was something. You know.
Or even try to co-opt the spirit and claim that they too have that rise or that type of fight.
Right, they had that type of vigor, virtue, or virtue, manliness.
But yeah,
they would try to ascribe those qualities to themselves, or, you know, adopt them or transfer them.
But you know what? Before you get too, you know, far into the text, I have to say, just on the heels of what has been happening recently with this man and you know, in the news. And it's funny because the fight now with the social networking pages is that some of the people in our community are saying that the spirit and the fight of this particular man should not be compared to our ancestor, Nathaniel Turner, because it's not the same thing. This man is fighting selfishly. He's doing this. He's doing that. And it's so funny because it, in my opinion, they make themselves transparent.
Yes.
You know, finding a reason why not to support someone who is standing for something.
Right.
Supposedly for injustices and for what is right. When this man says that he's doing that, well, then, you know, we immediately find a reason not to want to support that, because I think we sometimes don't want to admit to ourselves that we don't want to see these people doing these things, because what it then does is it shines a light on, even brighter, on what we aren't doing.
Yes, I agree. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you my take on that. I don't know if that type of thinking, when they say he's doing it selfishly.
Right. He's doing that for self, and he worked for the man, and
yeah,
any number of excuses. There's just any number of excuses to throw shade, you know, to salt his, you know, his efforts.
Right. And that's what I want to touch on. Because in reality, it doesn't matter why he did it.
Right.
It doesn't even matter.
It's immaterial.
It is right. It's immaterial. It has nothing to do with the fact those criminals are being harassed, or they're living in the fear of the same fear that they spread in other communities.
Mm-hmm.
that they live.
Right.
Most importantly, I would like to highlight the behavior that the black community at large likes martyrs. They want a sacrifice.
Right.
They want you to go up. They want him to go up, talk a lot of, you know, rhetoric. and get killed, and then they can somehow, the community can somehow profit, benefit from whatever energy and death that comes from it. I mean, no more, like, just like MLK.
But even more simplistically, I think that the defeat and the death and whatever failure that comes from it is self-reinforces that, see, I knew that this was not good. I knew he should not have done that. I knew that we could not do anything and be successful. You know, I knew that, you know, that kind of thing. I already heard that when they thought that he had been killed. People were saying, yeah, I knew that this was going to end bad, and I, you know, I knew that it was something fishy, and, you know, I knew this was a psyop, I knew this, I knew that, you know, because, you know, 2020, we tend to, you know,
right,
we tend to all be psychic all of a sudden, and, you know, I always knew there was something, you know,
right,
or whatever, but what it is it's a self-fulfilling thing, because we don't want to do anything, and so when someone fails, then we can say, see, that's why I didn't do anything, because I knew we would fail anyway.
Right, right. The idea of the failure is that they don't get, they want a sacrifice.
Right.
They want you, anybody else, to go up and speak a lot of rhetoric, and then if they can figure out a way to profit from it. Like I say, MLK was connected to these various organizations, and they were able to gain momentum, and they used him up, and they put him down by 68. They wasn't even using him no more, but they was, you know. And when it was decided that he would be murdered, they had already angled a way to transform American society for the special benefit of the black bourgeoisie. And see, when they see movements like that going on, groups of people that they can't really use, they can't see how they're going to spend it, how are we going to work that? That to them, that's like, I mean, because the population, you know, they like, well, they don't benefit like the black bourgeoisie, but they imagine that they are the black bourgeoisie.
Absolutely.
They imagine when they see the black bourgeoisie having their galas and bragging about how they the smart set and they got it going on like this and that and talking about your bootstrappers and whatnot, they want to say, well, it worked out for them too, and it didn't. But they... it's all a part of the grand illusion that the community is under for reasons that, you know, we understand, which we don't discuss on this program.
Right.
And when they see this guy holding it down, representing for his, you know, his own self-respect and dignity, and for the way he's seen, the things that he's seen in his occupation, the most of the people in the community going, oh, forget that nigga. I don't even like that nigga. Who he think he is? He think he hard or something? Because he doing, because, you know, I ain't, you know, did whatever I think I should have done. You know what I'm saying? And I'm feeling bad about it. Hell, he done sat quiet, too, for a lot of years.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or did whatever he did. Or, you know, whatever his own. Everybody has their own kind of protest.
Right.
It might not be what some other thing. It may be, to me, some of them people haven't even done the kind of, I would say, silent protest. They haven't had their own kind, and it sounded like they do not like that. And once they see him getting the attention, they like, oh, well, ain't nobody telling me. You know what? Fuck, screw that Negro. I don't like that nigga no way, and I hope he get caught and killed.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Matter of fact, as soon as I see him, I'm going to drop the dime on him.
Yeah, they were bragging. Many of them were bragging. I'll turn him in a second.
Yeah, I mean,
one guy said, I'll turn him in for half that.
I know. And I'm saying the black community really is finished. I've been saying that for the longest, and I'll say it again, if they finished. They can sit up and talk, we ain't finished. Well, you know, well, whatever. I don't like your show. You already don't listen. Doesn't even matter.
Okay.
It's finished because that kind of idea, exactly what we're talking about within the Nat Turner insurrection and support that Nat did not receive in the community. He only had a band of roughly 20 men.
Right.
20 men, they killed about three times their number.
Right. And they were I dare you to find an insurrection where the reason for their failure was not treasonous black folks.
Right.
I dare you to show me one.
You can't have found right. And they killed 3 times that number, but peep this, 10 times the number died following the end of the insurrection.
Right.
10 times.
Right.
200 people approximately, I would say it's more than that. They just stopped at 200. They say they admit or confess to having killed approximately 200 people. So 10 times the amount suffered as there was that participated. So, you know, it would have benefited them to, even if they didn't ride in them, to provide some form of support.
Right.
For the movement, if that meant logistics, hiding, protecting, causing some kind of fusing, disinformation, something. The support doesn't necessarily have to be being on the battlefield.
Right.
But in other capacities. And we have a community that is worse now than it was in 1831 that provides zero support. None. I mean, I'm willing to say Assata Shakur couldn't have broken out of jail in 2013, like she was able to do in 1972.
Oh, absolutely not.
I'm not. I mean, where the community was at that time.
Not because of security reasons.
Right, security reasons are wrong, right. Security reasons within the black community. I would
exactly.
We have one of the Al Sharpton was working to get her arrested, and he's a high-profile public figure. He can draw a crowd. He can get people to listen to him, and he is well-known traitor to the black community, and was a viable and was was considered a candidate for the DNC nomination for the presidency.
Right.
Election. So this is how bad the black community is. 2013.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just it's horrible, and you know they'll say, "Oh, he's so negative," but they can be negative talking about Nat Turner. They'll talk about, you know, they'll take away Nat Turner's spirituality, strip him of his identity, culture, and claim him as their own. These people who hate the God of Nat Turner that caused him to see that injustice needed to be prosecuted.
Right.
And they'll say, they'll curse Nat Turner's God and steal his memory.
Right.
And apply it to themselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the kind of thieving culture we have. I mean, it's corrupt.
Right.
And a corrupt culture that is, you know, that has no, I would say, moral integrity of any value will not survive. So, anyway, we're going to touch on this a little bit. We'll continue to address these themes as we survey this short essay.
Okay.
It says here, in August of 1831, Nathaniel Turner and a handful of men began a slave rebellion that left about 60 whites dead. Southern Virginia fell into chaos and terror, spread throughout the South as whites wandered about the extent of the rebellion and the danger of their human property that their human property posed. Within 6 months, Virginia's House of Delegates debated the propriety of slavery and considered emancipation schemes. Now, we talked about this on the Woman Song Community Experience program when you had authoress Sharon L. Foster, who wrote Resurrection of Nat Turner. She also brought this up, that emancipation was being considered. Just the right amount of pressure could have had some freedom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't enough. They felt they can weather it out. Anyway, black people worried about their safety as bands of white men roved panic-stricken portions of South, seeking revenge, often with little concern for distinguishing the partisans of Nat Turner from bystanders whose only crime was their black skin. Now, we talked about this also. We stand around, we watch, which is, it's okay, you know, if you don't, you know, do anything. I mean, you know, if you don't want to actually be a part of attack, but when the backlash comes, you got to cast your side. And apparently our community mostly sides with the enemy.
Right.
whoever's attacking us, that's who we side. We think we have a better chance throwing ourselves on the mercy of an opponent than with our own group.
Right.
That's what Dr. Amos Wilson terms, we have high rate show of out-group affinity.
Right.
And he did that, he cited that research back in 1978. And certain people would like to make call, like to try to influence us to believe that that is not the case. But the case, it has, in my opinion, has amplified. We have high out-group affinity. I don't care how many African names we tried, we donned.
Right.
How many, you know, pictures of, you know, that we circulate from Africa or whatever.
How many uniforms we wear.
How many uniforms you wear. That is the constant, which is why we can see the canned responses of lack of solidarity for any kind of proactive, pro-black or African or whatever, or Israelite movement that that are being demonstrated. You'll find factionalizations and any kind of dissent that anyone can imagine will take place. And in the next paragraph, he goes, he says, he said, whites tried to reassure themselves that Nat Turner's rebellion was an anomaly with little latent black support. They were right.
Mm-hmm.
They said little latent black support.
Right.
They mean it wasn't even a whole lot of people supporting, but just like pretending that they wasn't. That mean they were authentically not in support of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's this guy's second paragraph.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. And there was more support then just because he was able to convince 20 guys to do something.
Do something, right.
I don't care if they decided they was going to open up a hardware store. That would have been proactive, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that would be a feat today.
Right. I often say we can't even convince, you know, the people in our circle to agree to have ice cream on one day a week, the same day, at the same time. I mean, we can't agree to do anything.
Right. We'll say we'll have ice cream one day, and we will talk about these issues over ice cream. And we will study. How about if we would actually study the material?
Well, I don't know, because I don't really drink milk, and so I can't really get down with y'all.
Right. You know, and I don't have to read the book. Y'all, I don't know who y'all think y'all is. I'm just going to come in. I'm going to crack jokes and, you know, about, you know, certain people. And that'll be good enough, because, you know, you taking this too far. I think I'm going to read all these books. You crazy.
Right.
Right. You're not going to, right, without a re-education, you're not going to be able to understand how to deconstruct your condition, but and that breeds more frustration and self contempt for your impotency, the lack of power to change your condition. So the problem will persist. Here we go. He says, after all, the United States had a history remarkably devoid of slave rebellions of the sort that level parts of the Caribbean and Latin America. So we got a lot more slave rebellions to learn about. Hmm. Indeed, many slaveholding Americans have viewed the apparent docility of their slaves as a sign of virtue of their system. Concerns about black loyalty, you to the stories that white Southerners told themselves about their docile, loyal slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then many whites who understood that the rebellion was not simply an act of nature focused on their attention on slaves who apparently provided no succor to the rebels. Same. So they said no. Yeah, that's after they killed everybody. Then they focused on those who didn't provide any support after their bloodthirsty rage was satisfied. So, you know, there's nothing's changed. I mean, it's gotten worse. You know, we can't agree to have ice cream on Thursday, to shop at one store, nothing.
Not shop at one store, or, you know, let's all plant some, you know, green beans. Nothing.
Right.
So that is a part of the psychology that has lasted for many years. And I think, you know, it's difficult because we can bellyache all day about, you know, what we can't do and, you know, these kinds of things. But at some point, we're going to have to figure out what it is that we are going to do, and we're just going to have to do it. And it's unfortunate, I think, with this particular situation that just happened, or that is actually happening right now. I'm speaking of it as though there was finality, but there obviously wasn't. But anyway, with this particular situation, I think it is it illustrates in our face, poignantly, you know, right before our faces, that it costs us nothing to be able to utilize this to build the momentum, a mentality, to release a certain energy, to say that this is demonstrative of someone who has had enough. It's not to say that you have to do that, but it is to say that perhaps it's time that we become more mobile, more proactive, that we've had the conversation, and so now let's be about it. You know, I was speaking with someone, I forget who it was, and I was saying that, you know, if nothing else, I have to respect the fact that this man, you know, saw whatever he saw as injustice, that, you know, many want to term as him just doing something selfishly, which I don't care. Even if it was selfishly, he retaliated, did something, went through the proper chains. Those didn't work. And so he thought of a plan B. And it seems like to me is that we determine what the proper steps should be, and then when nothing happens, then we don't have a plan B. And we're not even interested in coming up with one. We're not even interested in supporting someone who has one.
Oh, yeah, we got a plan B. I see what the plan B is. Plan B.
Plan B is to submit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm talking about people who aren't interested in submitting.
Oh, well, I don't know who.
Those people.
Oh.
And so I was saying that I have to respect this man because he's not on Facebook running his mouth. You understand what I'm saying? Talking about, you know, how I was wronged and woe is me. You know.
How deep he is and how you should follow him and subscribe.
I said he's not on Facebook like me right now running my mouth. What he did is he said, I'm tired of talking about it. I'm going to be about it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Have to respect that. You know, and then the argument is, no, he doesn't care about anybody but himself. Oh, okay.
And right, and what I'm saying is that I'm not even criticizing people who being on Facebook or any other social media. I know that's not what you're saying. I'm talking about what I'm saying.
Okay.
Is that even whatever a person decides to do, however they decide to respond, respect their decision to respond according to as they see fit.
That's right, to do something.
Whatever he decides to do, just let that man do it and stop hating on him and getting in his way, basically.
Right.
Trying to steal his support,
hoping that you could, right, and co-opting any positive support for him.
Right, and putting roadblocks in his path.
Absolutely.
Laying traps in his feet. So
it's important that, I mean, people cannot see the correlation between these types of insurrections. And we could just say that Nat Turner, his rebellion was because he didn't like the way he was being treated.
Right. And so, right, he was being selfish.
And selfish.
And, right. And I don't know why he was doing toting that Bible around, talking about what the Lord told him. I don't believe none of that. You know, like I said, they'll blaspheme his God, but they want to steal all of his renown.
Mm-hmm.
These are the same people. They're the same people then who you know, was misdirecting Nat's troop, Nathaniel Turner's troops, and they're the same people now, except they're just more venomous today. It's just worse. But we know the deeper reason why these people have to function like they do. And you know, just like Yeshua told Yehudas or Judas, he said, "Go and do what you got to do."
Right. But this is the thing, though, that man was able to get 20 people. Now you have plantations full of people being affected. Oh my goodness, we only have a few minutes. But everybody listening in the chat room, I'm so sorry. You're probably not going to be able to get in, but the number is 323-580-5707. If you want to listen live, you have to call in to hear the remainder of the show. If not, we'll see you next week, same time. All right, go ahead. I was too late making the announcement, and they're probably not going to be able to call in that quick. But anyway, okay, so the point I was saying is that there were so many people being affected, you know, by this, you know, enslavement and torture and human trafficking, and he was able to get 20 people, and then some of them turned him in.
Right, right.
You know?
Right, right. They turned him in. They, you know, and they were people being murdered by militia groups following the insurrection, and they were still support, and there was still support for the enemy, for the opposite team. Nobody's saying, "Who we need to go hide in this cave? Who we need to get from right here?" Nope. I'm gonna tell you right where they are, because I wanted things to get back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They wanted to go back, just like these people we were complaining about. They don't want to end their current condition. They love it, you know. So, which has changed my, once I learned that sometime last year, I toned down, you know, and really focused my energies toward, you know, change agency and change the direction in which how I would do that. I changed, you know, the network, how much energy I would spend pursuing my the objectives the way I'd done the previous year and a half, 2 years. I said, you know, that's pointless. That path is not going to work, and so I abandoned it, and we abandoned it.
Right.
Then I'm not going to be like Dr. Wells in a news center and talk to these same tired people for 30, 40 years.
Right. That has to be frustrating. I remember when we were doing her book here on the book club last year, and one of the things that I think I asked you, I was saying how, you know, not just her, but many of our scholars have laid out this plan, this thing. They've already given us the answers, the insight into our own psychological makeup, the things that we need to understand about ourselves. And here we are, you know, 30 years, 40, 50, 60 years later, still repeating. We're reading to people this same information that has been shared. And so I just sometimes go into this, I don't know, I don't want to say depression, but this thing where it's so
discouraging.
Discouraging.
I understand.
Come on, ain't.
But we'll see. No, like we're talking about another program. See, though they're explaining the effects of this, what we know of this negativity.
Right.
But we know the spiritual cause of it. You want to understand it? We were
right, but
to understand it on the secular level, and all of that kind of the secular discourse wasn't going to bring enlightenment or self-realization, which is what was being attempted by these great scholars. I mean, they laid out a lot of good work, but and they discussed the mechanics of the problem, devoid of the deeper solution. And that's why things are constant. The way there has been no enlightenment. There has been no. I had anticipated some kind of like Black Renaissance, but I realized.
So too, I really was hopeful of that. I thought that it was going to be, no matter how small, I thought that there would be some type of Renaissance. That all of this information, we have a wealth of information. And we're accessing it, and I thought that at some point we would apply it. But it seems like we're just rehashing and rehashing and not applying. We're having a problem applying this information. It's almost to the point where there's just – what else is there to say?
Right, right. This is right. What we say on the other program.
Right. We're
all that stuff, all that other stuff. That's, you want the change, this is what you got to do. And on that other program, they don't want to hear that.
Right, and we're constantly talking about, you know, here's the illustration, here is, you know, this has been happening since, you know, we got here, this is, you know, how it is, and so what are we going to do?
This is a 3,000-year-old problem that has direct source that affected a group of nations, and all of those nations are displaced. You can't tell me those nations aren't suffering the same negativity. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
All of them are suffering it together. And nobody wants to hear that. It lets me know that the problem is that people do not want to stop doing what it is that they're doing. They do not want to make the 180. They don't want to make the about face. And so I am, now that's why I'm not as angry and all, you know, riled up. I was like, man, I can't believe I was discovering a lot and understanding mechanics and looking at the negative behaviors and thought I was going to, like, just persuade people through my sophistry and rhetoric to stop doing that and understand this other level. Like, no, all that, you know, smooth and intricate speech and logistics isn't going to do it.
No.
It's not going to do it. And so I could let that go.
Right.
I could let that go, and I could focus on myself. Because I was always focusing on myself, changing man in the mirror, and I felt what the changes I'm making, you know, the community should be making some too.
Right. But no amount of sophistry is going to do it anymore. I mean,
right.
It never did, really, because we had these great orators, Douglas and all of these people. What did we do? We're here. We're where we are right now.
Right.
So this is that legacy. So I don't know. I mean, I don't want to have a doomsday talk and all that. But anyway, so.
But we've had it.
I guess we did. Okay. So anyway, we'll be back next week. We got to get out of here. What are we going to do next week?
We're going to discuss Gabriel and the Denmark Vesey rebellion in connection with the Nat Turner, and basically it's talking about the spirituality which motivated both of them. I don't have I can't think of the title of the essay right now. Let me just turn the table. How much time we got left? Moments.
No. Maybe about just under 5 minutes.
Okay, here it is. We have the title of it is going to be Reading, Revelation, and Rebellion, the Textual Communities of Gabriel, Denmark Vesey, and Nat Turner by James Sidbury. And we're going to discuss his essay. And basically, it's about reading. What were they reading? They were reading the Hebrew, the Bible, okay, their English translation. What's the revelation? Well, they understood whether it was through prophecy or through study, Midrash, that they were supposed to liberate their people. They liberate our people, that we have a responsibility for our community to assist and raise up our community. And these men did that, and they rebelled, and a lot of people rebelled in various ways. But these rebellions here were going to be militaristic. Now, the Denmark Vesey and the Gabriel Rebellion were both foiled by informants, confidential informants of the colonial slave states. And Nat Turner's it barely got off the ground. And that's what made it so impactful. But that's what we'll discuss next week.
Okay. All righty. Well, I don't know.
You need to decompress from it.
Oh, I'm just feeling some kind of way. I just am.
Yeah.
Just all of this is going on, and we're going through this emotional back and forth with
mm-hmm.
you know, this circumstance with this man and all of that. And it's just, I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. But I'm glad that we're doing this particular series right now with Nat Turner. I think it is very timely and very appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
All right.
Well, how much time we have?
We gotta go.
Okay.
What else did you want to
say? Oh, I had a whole lot of stuff, but you know.
Okay, well, if you want to squeeze in like one or two more things, just go ahead.
No, it's all right. I'm just saying I was prepared. And hey, you stop talking to these people about this thing because they're making your head hurt. I think they're giving you a headache.
Actually, no, I was on the wall chatting with Nana and some other people. We were talking about, she was talking about the, you know, us going back and forth, you know, expecting a large number to join in any type of, you know, separatist movement. We, you know, it has to be a small group, and we have to, you know, be serious about it and you know, do what we're going to do. And she brought up the situation where Douglas got the root to fight Covey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that root, just so he wouldn't get whipped anymore, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I said I wish that I had that list of verbs. Whatever that root was.
He may have mentioned it in his other one, biography, but I think he didn't, because he tried to pretend in the book like it was all superstitious mumbo-jumbo, but, you know, because he was writing for a largely white readership.
Right, that's the way it was played. But the fact is that he didn't get beat.
Right, he didn't get beat seriously like that no more. But, he had to pretend that he didn't, because, you know, the white people didn't respect black folks' herbal knowledge and whatnot, so he had to pretend that he didn't respect it either. He wanted to keep getting their support.
Right.
And they were financially supporting him, so.
You are always so controversial in everything. You just have to,
But that's true. Amen. What other motivation did he have to do that?
Right. Right. But anyway, okay. All right, well, we'll get out of here, and we'll be back next week. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. And you can join us on our Facebook community page at facebook.com/AK Beyond the Book to keep up with the weekly meetings and, you know, information and notes from this broadcast and our previous meetings. So if that's it, we'll holler at you next week.
All right.
All right, peace.
All right, peace out.